Lawrence Prospera is a community-driven, nonprofit organization committed to our mission of strengthening the individuals and families of Lawrence, Massachusetts through the development of thriving neighborhoods. CISU presents Hola, Honest Opinions with the Lawrence Attitude.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. We have a very special guest for you today. Therapist Angela Cepeda. I know you're a busy woman, so without further ado, let's jump into these questions. So give us a little bit about your background, history, information, anything that you would like to share with us.
Thank you for inviting me. As you say, my name is Angela Cepeda, and I was born and raised in Nicaragua. And at the age of 20, in 1985, I came to this country, and specifically to New York, where I went to a community college, learned some English, some basic college skills, and then I transitioned to Springfield College, where I got my bachelor's degree in human services. And when I finished my bachelor's degree, I didn't want to go into a master's degree just for the sake to have a master's degree.
Sure.
I wanted to do a master's degree in something that was passionate to me, something that I could make a difference in somebody else's life. So I waited a couple of years, explore various job opportunities, and then I decided to go for vocational rehabilitation counseling at Boston University.
Oh, nice. Very nice. How long have you worked as a therapist?
I have worked in the mental health field for the past 25 years, specifically in a therapeutic environment for the past 12 years.
Okay. And where, here in Boston, Lawrence, or here in Massachusetts, I should probably say?
Most of my professional work experience is in Lawrence.
Okay. Why did you decide to pursue this career path?
When I was in high school, I had my best friend, who is now my daughter's godmother.
Oh, wow.
He is deaf, and she is deaf and mute.
Okay.
And when we went in, when we were in high school, I was helping her with homeworks. Mm. I was helping her with other life skills. So I think from that moment, it inspired me to maybe I can do something about this.
Wow, that's an interesting story. That's a good inspiration. So it came early to you.
It came early. But then I went to college, and as many freshmen, college students experience, sometimes we're undecided. We know that we have an interest in a particular area, but we want to explore other areas.
Yes.
So for the first couple of years where you take core courses, I didn't know really where I wanted to go. I wanted to go into human services, then I wanted to go in computer field. But then I wanted to go into nursing. But after, you know, some thoughts, I went into the human service fields, and that's where I got my bachelor degree.
What do you think are some of the biggest mental health needs for young people and their families here in Lawrence?
Okay. I'm going to break it down into the young people first and then the families. I think that just being young, it's a challenge nowadays. We experience a lot of biological changes mm-hmm. and mental health changes. In my experience, one of the barriers that I encounter is that the young adults are not prepared for adult life. I think that we as parents, including myself, sometimes we do a poor job preparing our young people for adulthood. We don't help them transition to adulthood, and that start early in life. You don't start at 18. Just because they turn 18 doesn't mean they are an adult. And some parents have that misconception. I think we need to start early teaching them about work values, the value of education, the value of being on time, time management, organizational skills, priorities. All those things are transitioning skills that they're going to use later in the workforce, college, and life in general. So I think we need, young adults need a little more preparation. I think they have to be an integration with school and parents to prepare them, to equip them for college life. They go to college and sometimes they don't know how to manage their time. They don't know how to set priorities. So peer pressure kick in. You know, somebody else asked them, let's go out tonight. And then they probably have some homework to finish, but they don't know how to set priorities. So that's where the preparation ahead of time is very important.
And their families, what do you see it in terms of a family as a whole?
I think we are living in times now in societies that is very stressful, and sometimes parents, sometimes they don't have the priorities in order. Sometimes people work two jobs to support the family, and in some cases it's necessary because, for example, rent is so high and people have to work extra to make ends meet. And when the families don't have their priorities in order and they work extra hours, when they come home, they're too tired to discipline. Who is supervising these people, these young children? Who is telling them that that program is not appropriate for them? Who's telling them that, you know, let me teach you how to cook. Let me teach you, let's have a conversation. How was your day at school today? So that interaction sometimes is lost because we as parents are very stressed at work and with life in general.
You hit on some really key points that families and you, young adults are struggling with and might not even be aware that these are some of the key issues that, like you said, we need to start teaching them earlier. The earlier, the better. So I definitely agree with you on that, on everything that you said. So the next question is, what do you think are some of the biggest barriers to getting help here in Lawrence in terms of mental health?
I think sometimes the resources are available in the community, and I think we do have very good network of support here in Lawrence. I think that some people are not aware of them, or they don't know how to navigate through the system. Sometimes I ask my patients, for example, to call a particular place, a particular service provider, to ask for what services they are offering. Mm-hmm. And it takes me about 4 or 5 sessions to encourage them to reach out to this place. And I said, you know, it will be easier for me to pick up the phone and do it for you. But I want to teach you the skills to navigate through the system, to have the confidence to pick up the phone and say, my name is such and such. I have a young person who's having behavioral issues, mm-hmm. and I was wondering what kind of services you can offer me. And if that person is not able to help you, that person will probably will connect you with someone else. So going back to your question, most families, especially the Hispanic people, are afraid to network, are intimidated by, you know, somebody answering the phone in a professional manner. And you can be yourself, you can ask questions. There are not stupid questions, you know. That's what you need to know, and you should be asking for it. So I empower my patient. I empower the families to reach out. There are so many services, but you need to speak up. You need to let us know what is it that you need. And there are so many services that sometimes are not, parents are not reaching out to it.
Those are some really very interesting, true points that I have experienced myself. And like you said, it's easier for me to pick up the phone and make that phone call, but it's better for you to start exercising those skills. Right on. When it comes to health insurance as well, some of them don't even know that there's that additional number in the back that says for behavioral or mental health services. Each health insurance company might say it differently, but some of them don't even know that there's actually a mental health number, 1-800 number to call, and there's also a substance abuse 1-800 number to call so that they can help them find.
Right, 24/7.
There you go. So if little information like that, it's key, and also awareness. Mm-hmm. Perhaps we can invest as a community in mental health awareness, how to advocate for themselves. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I would like to add that the PCP, the primary care provider, the doctor, they can, in my opinion, they can do a much better job if they know what's available in the community for families and for patients and young adults. That's the place that the family or the young person should be talking about, are you sleeping well at night? Are you feeling sad? If there is any behavioral issues going on at home, any changes, any stress at home, so the provider can make a quick assessment if there may be a need for therapy or for medication or make a referral for a young program or for the different mental health state agencies that we have here in Lawrence.
Good to know. For our listeners who are unfamiliar with how therapy works, can you talk a little bit about what a therapy session might look like, please?
Sure. A therapy session is just like when you go to your PCP, a little bit different, the environment, because we don't have as many equipment as the doctor. But it's a therapeutic environment where it's just the patient and the therapist talking about what is happening in the patient's life. It's just four walls, and everything that the person said there is confidential, unless the patient wants to harm themselves or others. It's kind of a conversation, you know, about what's happening in your life. Let me walk you through, a regular session that I do with my patient. For example, I have a young mother that come to my office for her first appointment.
Okay.
So her first appointment, we have to draw some information, background information, history, all those kind of things. And the second session is most about, you know, what bring you to therapy. Sometimes people don't have an idea what's going on in their life because it has been going on for so long that layers and layers and layers of other issues have arise.
Okay.
So sometimes I just tell my patient, just talk. Tell me what's on your mind. Tell me about your family dynamic. Tell me about your work environment. Do you like what you do? How long have you been doing that? Do you have friends? Where do you come from? Do you feel connected to the community? So I just, it's like putting a puzzle together. I just try to get a little bit of pieces to see where is the issue and how can I best support, help, guide, and refer my patient to other providers so we can provide integrated care.
Now, what's the average for a person to receive therapy, or maybe what's the longest? But an average, I should say.
It's 45 minutes.
45 minutes.
So
okay.
The patient come, and the patient has 45 minutes to talk about what's going on in his or her life. It's also an opportunity for growth development, because some we don't give answers. I think some people have the wrong misconception that we are going to tell them what to do or how to resolve the problem, and we don't do that.
Okay.
We do some exploration. We give you suggestions, but We also help you develop the skills that you need to resolve that issue. We also help you, for example, name the feelings. What are your feelings? Because where I come from, you know, from the Hispanic community, sometimes we're not taught to name our feelings. And it happens to me when I'm working with my patients, my Hispanic patients. Some of them don't know how to name that feeling. So when I said, okay, so perhaps you're feeling a little bit frustrated because things are not going the way you plan it, and the person nod and say yes. So we name that feeling, and that goes with personal growth and development. So the next time the person is feeling something similar, the patient can say, I'm frustrated because I wasn't planning on this snowstorm.
Yes.
And here we have one.
Yeah. Thank you. That was very useful. Now, how can someone go about getting started with the therapeutic process? What are the first steps they should take or you recommend that they should take?
People usually go to see their primary care physician often, or if they are in good health, they go once a year. So that will be, I will say, a good place to start having a conversation. If one of our listeners is not sleeping well or is having some stress, anxiety, that will be an opportunity to talk to the doctor and see if there is something that is temporary or something that may need a referral to a therapist or a psychiatrist. That will be one place. Another place also is if you are a young adult that is listening, you can talk to your counselor at the school. You can talk to your teacher, and they can make a referral to the various agencies we have here in Lawrence. At the agency that I work for, we have walk-ins, so you don't have to make an appointment.
Okay.
If you are going through a very, very tough time and it's something that you need immediately, you can walk into our clinic.
Okay.
But let me elaborate a
little
more. Anyone who has insurance can pick up the phone and look for counseling offices in the Lawrence area. Also, it doesn't have to be a long-term services. It could be a few sessions that the patient need. So that's something that the patient decides, how long he wants to stay in therapy.
Okay. Now, what advice would you have for service providers in the field who work with high-risk clients and are in stress-filled environments for self-care that you can advise to them?
I think that burnout in the mental health field is very high. I think it's important that people who work in the mental health field know their limitations and that they cannot help everyone. You know, you have your special skills to work, for example, with substance abuse patients or with youth or with family or with elderly. Some patients have severe mental health issues, and perhaps the therapist may not be equipped, or maybe that's not his or her specialty. So know your limitations, I will say first. Number two, I will say take care of yourself, because if you don't have the clarity, if you can't sleep good at night, if you don't have some recreational activities to detach from the work environment, how can you help somebody else? So we need to have good mental health, hygiene, and clarity in order for us to help somebody in need. And Another will be to have some support. You know, you're not alone. So if you have a challenging patient, make sure you contact the doctor or the psychiatrist and say, I'm working with a mutual patient and these are the issues I'm having. And I was wondering how you go about this with the patient. Because sometimes the patient may need an increase on medication or a decrease on medication. So that collateral, you need to integrate other providers. You're not alone. You have a supervisor, you have coworkers, and if you need more supervisor in a with a particular patient, make sure you ask for help. Because how can we teach our patient to ask for help when we don't practice that?
That's true. That's true. Well, anything else you'd like to add to any other questions or anything that you would like to add that's apart from the questions?
I will add that, you know, we all at some point need help. And that's not a weakness. That's a strength to ask for help. I myself have asked for help in the past when I was raising my daughter as a single mother. Mm-hmm. It's not an easy task. So I was able to reach out for help. And to me, that was the best thing I did at that time because I felt supported. I got some guidance. If you are a young adult who's confused about life, who hasn't been? You know, you're not alone. It's not a shame to feel lonely or feel a little bit of anxiety or lost. You don't know what you want to study. You don't know if you want to work. It's very challenging time. So find somebody to talk, you know, find a friend, a teacher, a counselor. Also, you can seek for a therapist and just try and see if that's something that is beneficial to you. Now, some people, they go to see a therapist and because they have a bad experience or they didn't connect with the person, they don't return anymore. Mm-hmm. And I want our listeners to know that if you don't feel connected to a particular provider, you can always change. I don't feel offended when a patient said to me, I'd rather work with another therapist. Yeah. I said, okay. I thought we were connecting, but if you think that you can connect better with another provider, let me help you make that transition. Because my goal is that the patient get the help that they need.
Yes.
So at some point in our life, we go through stress that we don't know how to manage. We go through family difficulties. We go through divorce. Young adults, sometimes they don't know what they want to do with their life. They're not, they don't know what are their interests, what career path they want to go. And, you know, a counselor may be a good support to help you navigate the road to transition into college or transition into work.
Yes.
So mental health, we need to talk more about that because mental health is as important as our physical health.
Definitely, I agree. One last question. So what would you recommend or if you could give some form of advice to someone that's perhaps suffering from overthinking, anxiety, lacking sleep, thinking in their heads too much, and are not able to connect with their mind and body and reality, something of that nature. I know a lot of our youth are struggling with some of that, and they just don't know how to go about it. They don't know if they need therapy. They don't know if they should go get it. What would you recommend?
I'm glad you asked that question. I think that it happens more often than what we think. Mm-hmm. We have thousands of thoughts per day, you know, thousands and thousands. Not every thought needs our attention, or not every thought is real, you know. So we have to learn to discipline our mind and do some exercise to help us reconnect. And just like businesses, they have time, 9 to 5, they're open. So that's, you also have to train your mind that, from 9 to 5, I'm at work. Mm-hmm. And I'm paying to provide a particular services. From 5 to whatever, that's my time. That's my family time. That's my hobby time, my exercise, things that I do for myself. One of the techniques that may be helpful is mindfulness. There is, exercises that you can do, meditation that you can practice to be in the moment, because our mind tends to go different places. Like right now I'm talking to you, but I have trained my mind to be in one place at one time. In the past, I was talking to somebody and my mind was going different directions. So yoga helped me to be in the moment. Like, okay, yeah, I have to do some grocery shopping later, but that's later. So you redirect your mind. You bring your mind to the moment. Right now, I'm talking to the listeners and we're having this awesome conversation about mental health. So you always have to redirect your mind. Also, physical exercises is an excellent skills to practice. It's something that it has been proven, that it brings you calm. It's definitely give you energy. It keep you centered. Going for walks, being in contact with nature, watching a movie, talking to your best friend. So those are things that, taking a vacation, those are things that you have to practice, not today, not one day, and not next week. That's a daily practice, because you have to teach your mind every single day that, okay, I'm at work right now, and I have all these tasks to perform, but once I leave work, that's my time to nurture myself, to take care of myself, to go to yoga, to go visit a friend, to buy me flowers, to lie down a candle and listen to my favorite music, do something different.
Yes.
So you have to teach your mind to detach from work. It's not all about work, because if we don't have the mental stability, we're not gonna be 100% at work.
Thank you so much. I do try to exercise to try to connect with my mind, and it does help. It definitely helps physically and mentally. So I highly recommend it. Yoga, definitely. It's something else that, people can try, but you do have to also practice discipline, and have consistency as well. Like you have to be, like you said, it can be just one day of the week, 2 days of the week. It has to be constantly. And it's very hard. It's harder than me sitting here telling you that I've experienced it myself. So I just feel that that a lot of us are in some way need, and we don't want to stigmatize the mental health aspect of it, but more of self-care, self-wellness. And I think that this is going to be more of a broader topic of discussion for a lot of families moving on in the future as well. It's not going to be as a hidden secret that a lot of families would be embarrassed to say, I'm going to therapy, or especially right now with celebrities, a lot of them are exhibiting some form of disclosure that they're receiving therapy, which it tends to send a signal that it's okay with our younger population.
Yeah, and that's something we need to teach our kids, that it's okay to talk about feelings, that it's okay to go see, when you go see a neurologist, you're not ashamed of going to see a neurologist. So the mind, we don't see it, but we feel it. And people can have a lot of money, people can have a lot of families, but they are going through depression, they're going through anxiety, because nobody is immune to this. There is not a vaccination for this. So seeking help is a strength. And if I can leave our listeners with something,
please,
is that seeking help is a strength to ask for help, because early intervention is very important. You don't want the problem to be big. I see families overwhelmed with adolescent behavior.
Mm, yes.
And sometimes when they come to my office and we talk about it, and we put in place resources, and I tell them that some of those behaviors are normal behaviors. They go like, oh, like I have told them something completely different.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very normal, you know? It's very normal what they're going through. However, they have to be some boundaries. And here is where you need to learn the skills to set boundaries and to be comfortable when you're young is uncomfortable.
That's wise. Well, thank you so much. We've wrapped up this meeting, or this interview, I should say. We're very glad that you came here today and share a little bit of what it is that that we should look for in when we're trying to find individual therapy or family therapy as well. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
This podcast is brought to you in part by Lawrence Prospera and is recorded in the multimedia room at the Sisu Center. Nuria Rivera is our host and Paul Thompson, our engineer and director, with assistance provided by young adults at the Sisu Center. Technical support provided by Tony Schumann. Our producer is Paul Heithaus. Executive producers are Jay Bartosik, Ralph Guerrero, and the Lawrence Prospera Board of Directors. Thanks to the generous support of the City of Lawrence, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts Executive Office of Health and Human Services, and the Massachusetts Department of Elementary and Secondary Education. Thank you to the New Balance Foundation, the Filene's Foundation, the United Way, the Nordson Foundation, and the Essex County Community Foundation. And a big thank you and shout out to the Maximus Foundation. Without their support, this podcast would not be possible. And lastly, a very special thanks to our guest for sharing their stories with us today.